Today, I'm speaking on encouragement in Christ. The first verse I want to share is Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So, Lord, this is the beginning of this message, Lord. Help us to allow you to touch us today. Let us be vessels that receive, Lord, to have ears to hear and eyes to see. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Lord, this isn't a season where we just focus on a crib, but we turn our thoughts to the cross. We celebrate this season where you left heaven for us to pay a dreadful price so that we would have opportunity to spend eternity with you in heaven, O Lord. Pray that you would minister to us today. Give us the ability to stay focused on you. You know, if you look on the top of the bulletin, it says joy to the world. You know, and today I think, you know, I'm just wanting to encourage you today. You know, we saw last week, man, it was a great movement of God. We talk about miracles. Here's a miracle. The living God speaks to us and we respond. The living God speaks to us. He said, I care about you. Well, no, I care about you. So that's why I just want to encourage you about today. You know, in this season of Advent, which is a season of waiting and watching, let's continue to draw closer to the Lord. You know, to me, it's hard to fathom God loves us. I remember years ago when I first started pastoring, I'm up in Faith Fellowship in Watertown. We're having a pastor's meeting, and Jeff Fell is speaking to a bunch of pastors. So just think of all of you, just your pastors. And he says, do you know that God loves you? And my initial thought, instantaneously, without thinking on the inside, was, yeah, right. I'm a pastor. See, I know what doubt is. I know what it means to have the enemy whisper in your ear, and you look in the mirror rather than at the Bible. So the living God is speaking to us in this season that you matter to me. And my goal today is I want to encourage you in Jesus to anticipate his moving in our lives and to press on it. That when you get bit by a dog and they tell you your season's over, you keep your eyes on the cross, not the race. And God moves sometimes in very miraculous ways like he did with Noah. But you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Too often the enemy wants us to have a pity party and look at what's going on. We need to be encouraged. We need to be strengthened, and we need to be engaged. I'm going to be speaking from Luke today, Luke 1:5-7. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Be unmovable in your faith. Let's look at context. We go from Malachi to Matthew in one page of our scriptures. But that one piece of paper that separates the Old Testament from the New Testament represents 400 years of history. 400 years where there wasn't a prophet. 400 years where God's voice wasn't heard. And that silence was broken with the cry of a baby on Christmas night. The name Elizabeth means God is my oath. The name Zechariah means Jehovah has remembered. Now look at the context here. God hasn't spoken for over 400 years. For us, that would be the year 1623. Hasn't spoken prophetically. There isn't a voice. What is happening? The spiritual leaders in Zechariah's time, they were in bondage to tradition. Look at how Jesus dealt with the Pharisees. They were not in relationship with God. They were in relationship with what they thought God should do and what they thought God should look like. And that's something we have to be careful of. We need to let God be God. And Elizabeth was barren. She was an old woman with no children. And I'm sorry, that wasn't a good place to be in those days. It's very depressing. You were looked down on. It was a disgraceful place. But you know what I love about this story? Verse 6, they were both righteous before God. They didn't allow a cold society spiritually damping their faith in God. Newsflash, we do not live in a country that proclaims the name of Jesus Christ. We don't live in a state that proclaims the name of Jesus Christ too often. But we can't allow the spiritual climate of our culture impact our faith. That is why we have to be very careful what we let into our lives. I was listening to the radio this week, and it was a singer who's a famous contemporary Christian singer, can't remember his name, and his mom. And his mom was explaining how when he was a teenager and she saw that he had this gift, she set him down and said, "You got to be careful what you let into your life. If you let a lot of secular music in, that's going to grab you. That's going to draw you in. But if you listen to praise and you listen to music that glorifies Jesus, that's going to build you." Now, hey, y'all know I like Neil Young and I got quite a collection, but I'm careful how much I listen to that. Because if I listen to that for hours and hours on end, it draws me in. So I got to be careful what I let in. You know the old saying, garbage in, garbage out. So there has to be a balance. Sometimes it's hard to keep your eyes on Jesus when you're on crutches and a dog gnawed on your leg. And you want, it's just senior year, this is big time we're talking about. You know, some of us that are more experienced in this age thing, we say, yeah. But no, remember, well, you probably can't. You were a high school senior at one point. And things were important. You know, I think it's fantastic. When I was a high school senior, you just want to dress just appropriately. I've said this before. Now it's like, hey, what's not wrinkled? Good, it works for me. And there appeared to him, Zechariah, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Can you imagine how he felt? This hadn't happened in his lifetime. If all of a sudden we're sitting here and boom, this angel of the Lord comes, we would freak out. And Zechariah was troubled. Yeah, no kidding. When he saw him and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. And he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." What's God's encouragement to him? Do not be afraid. Your prayers have been heard. What is God's encouragement to you today? Don't be afraid. I hear your prayers. Now, maybe he's not going to go boom. And maybe your legs are not going to be healed all automatically. But God still hears your prayer. Last year, San Francisco 49ers won a great run. They had a quarterback, Brock Purdy, who was Mr. Irrelevant. Whatever that word is. What does that mean? He was the last person picked in the draft. So they get to the playoffs, and lo and behold, he gets hurt. And it probably, likely, maybe cost them the Super Bowl. But this is what he said during that time. God is faithful. He's never done with a story, even when you think he is. So, Philadelphia Eagles go to the Super Bowl. They beat the 49ers. Life is pretty bad. But you're a young kid. You went from being in the pits. Let me tell you, most people that are last pick in the NFL draft, they don't make a team, let alone be the starting quarterback, and they trade away another quarterback. God is faithful, people. He's never done with a story, even when you think he is. So you might think he's done with you. He's not. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Let's keep going on. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their lifetime." Faith in Jesus is a journey. Now, let me tell you about God. When he speaks to you, most of the time, you're not going to be in a temple. You're going to be doing everyday things. Was Moses doing something powerful? He was watching a bunch of sheep, which really is like a low-class job in the day. David was doing the same thing. What was the mighty man Gideon doing? Hiding, threshing wheat. Peter, he was mending a fishing net. He was fishing. Relax. God will speak to you at the appropriate time. Is it going to be tomorrow during a day in prayer and fasting? Maybe. Usually when I do a day of prayer and fasting, life gets harder because Satan wants to discourage me. So we think, don't try to make things happen. Just hang out. God's going to move. But you know what we see in those verses? Faith is blessed. Unbelief is judged. Think about it. This angel appears to the guy. Hey, you're going to have great news. Your wife's going to have a baby. Wouldn't you kind of believe it? I mean, you're in this temple, you're all by yourself. Boom, this angel comes and he speaks to him. These powerful interactions didn't prevent doubt or disbelief from rising up. In a way, it encourages me because we all have peaks and valleys. Look at Elijah. God uses him to defeat the prophets of Baal. You know, hey, do this, do your offering, you know, and pray to your God, and they keep doing it all day. He goes, do it louder. Maybe he's going to the bathroom, you know, and the first biblical point of trash talking. So then when it's Elijah's turn, man, he douses his sacrifice like 3 or 4 times. The fire comes down from heaven. Boom. What a powerful time, right? Then Jezebel scares him, and he runs away. So sometimes our greatest moments of victory and faith are followed by times of weakness. That's okay if you keep your eyes on Jesus and allow him to minister to you and say, God, help me. You see, what we focus on will gain strength in our lives. You hit what you aim for. If you focus on who you are rather than who God is, then you're going to stay in the rut. If you focus on who God is, then he can use you. Like I was talking to Noah before the meeting. You know what? I hate public speaking. I hated it in college. I hated it when God called me to do it. And I'm not the best fan of it now. But I know when I obey what God calls me to do, then it might work out. And you know what I like about this story? Elizabeth got the first Christmas present ever. Her husband couldn't speak the whole 9 months she was pregnant. Can I hear an amen? I mean, don't you wives, don't you mothers out there think your husband would have shut up for 9 months? I mean, let's get real. But Zechariah looks at his old lady and goes, that ain't going to happen. Where do you doubt God? Oh, I can read this story, and I can tell you I never would have said that. If I was Peter, I never would deny Jesus 3 times. Isn't it funny we actually believe that about ourselves? Take God at his word. What he has spoken to you, what he says in the Bible. Don't try to twist it or compromise it so that it fits your narrative. My life verse, 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We all encounter moments of doubt, of fear and uncertainty. But let's take some steps to overcome it. Be honest with God, like the father who, he said to Jesus, if you can, he goes, if I can? He goes, if I believe, help thou my unbelief. Just get real with God. I can know you can do all things, God, but I am really struggling in believing this. Find assurance in God's word. Keep watching and, reading the places where he moves. You know, Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Make a list of all the times God has been faithful to you and review it. Look at it frequently and say, man, God is faithful. God is faithful. Part of my testimony is I was supernaturally healed. God brought me to him. I still have doubts at times. You think I'd be smarter than that, but I'm not, because sometimes we have moments of weaknesses, which is okay. We just have to trust the Lord. I'm not saying it's okay to have a moment of weakness. I'm saying it doesn't disqualify you. Just go to God and repent. Let me read Luke 1, 30 through 34. The angel said to her, talking to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. There's no slide. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom there be no rest. And Mary said, how will this be, since I am a virgin? Well, faith looks to the future with confidence in Christ. What about Mary? Her question was different. Zechariah's question was a question of doubt. Mary's question was a question of methodology. I know the birds and the bees. The birds haven't been present, God. And if you don't know what I mean, talk to one of the elders. If the birds haven't been present, God, so will you, how is this going to take place? I love her humility. If she was today, Mary would have a tattoo, Isaiah 7:14, and the virgin shall be with child. Does she go to Elizabeth? She goes to Elizabeth and encourage her. She doesn't go and say, oh, you know where it says the virgin shall be with child? It is me. She'd have it all over Facebook or X or Instagram or whatever. I love her humility. But in today's world, that would be Mary. Don't you love your humility? Maybe we should learn from her that when God uses us, good. These guys raked the leaves yesterday. It looked great. We're not going to compliment the rakes. We're going to compliment the guys that did it. We are the rakes of God. So let's not get caught up in talent. Let's not get caught up in anything but trusting the Lord. For nothing will be impossible with God. This is what I love about Mary. Zechariah saw the amazing movement of Gabriel. He went to unbelief. Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." How about you guys? Are you saying to God, "I'm your servant, let it be to me according to your word"? Not according to my plans, not according to my to-do list, not according to what I want in life, but God, here am I, send me. That's what God's looking for. I like what I heard one pastor said this week. I'm not looking for a bigger church, I'm looking for bigger people. And I'm looking for bigger people in New Covenant Community Church that will say, "God, your will, not mine." I love reading Luke 1. I love seeing how later Zechariah steps up. The kid's born. Mom says his name is going to be John. Nobody in your family named it John, which was tradition back then. They ask him, you go, boom. Name is John. He speaks, he worships God. Maybe you're in a place today where you've still been a little mute for 9 months. That's okay. Just keep going on. See, the thing I love about the Bible he uses average people, God does. He doesn't use Avengers. I didn't find Iron Man anywhere in the Bible. I saw the end of a movie yesterday. It's about 6-7 Batman versus Superman. It's too bad Superman died, but I'm a Batman fan, so I didn't fully break my heart. But God doesn't look for people that are mighty. He looks for those who are weak. It tells us, "I have chose the foolish things of the world." Amen. I will continue to be foolish for Jesus. Because when you're looking in the mirror rather than the Bible, you're thinking, "God, I got something to bring to the table." When you do that, when you start looking at your gift set and you start getting a little puffed up in the chest, please hang on, because God is coming for you. He will never allow us to rest in self-reliance. Confidence in him and moving forward, yes. But he wants us to totally rely on him. I love how the Bible, you can look at Peter, you can look at Zechariah, you can look at Elijah. It gives an account of real people who had real flaws, but when they placed their faith in God, powerful things occurred. So as we bring this all to a close, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? I can only tell you one thing. Jesus is the answer. Whatever you're going through, highs or lows, Jesus is the answer. Maybe you're on top of the world. You got everything you could fully want. Praise God for that. But don't let that control you. Say, "Lord, I am your servant. Do with me what you want." Be unmovable in your faith. Doesn't mean you're going to never waver. It means your foundation is not going to crumble. That your foundation is going to be one of rock and not sand. When you look to yourself and to another person, I'm sorry, it's not going to work out. But Jesus is saying today, "You know what? I want you to commit to me. I want you to continue to walk in me." Man, you know what? Last week was great. It was fantastic. God moved. People responded. But you know what I found out? I love those times. But God gives us times of quiet to see how strong our faith really is, to make sure our faith is in connection to him and not a move. Faith is a journey. You're going to have ups, you're going to have downs. Continue to read your word. Continue to make that list of how faithful God has been to you. Faith looks to the future with confidence in God. So, Lord, I'm praying right now in this season that you would touch our lives, Lord. Father, as I researched and looked at the words that Brock Purdy said, here's this young man, early 20s, was at the top of the top, and his world came crashing down, but it didn't move his faith. And as a testimony we heard today, Lord, when things don't go our way, you won't leave us. You'll be with us. You will strengthen us. You will move, Lord. You're still a God that moves miraculously today, Lord. And we thank you for that healing. Lord, I pray for encouragement for those that need it today. It's easy to look around and say, yeah, it worked for him, but why doesn't God move in my life? He is moving in your life. Look to him. Don't let your faith waver. Pick up those today, Lord, that need to be picked up. Let them lay as an empty vessel before you, allowing you to fill them, Lord. Father, we're called to be lights in the world. Help us to get strength from you. Help us to be encouraged and to know that you indeed are our God and refuge, a very present help in trouble. Amen. You know, I'll close with this. You know, the actor Jim Carrey, from what I've read, has accepted the Lord. And I like this quote I read. He said this week, I wish that everybody would get everything they wanted, that they would get fame, that they would get riches, that they would get their deepest desires, and they would see how empty it is. So, Lord, let us be full with you. Amen. Amen. Blessings.